The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Thank you, Zoe. It is good to see each one of you here. It's good to see some folks who have traveled. We're gone in a couple weeks and seeing family, and it's good to see you back. And some folks are still traveling, and so we look forward to seeing them back. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm chapter 92. The book of Psalm chapter 92, this has been the passage for our memory verse, and as you turn there, I'm going to ask you to not look at it as we try to say our memory verse together. Psalm 92 verse, I just heard moans as I said that. Psalm 92 verse 1 through 2, let's say it together. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. That is our text for today. It's what we have been focusing on this month. Have you not been blessed by those thankful videos? Wow, what a great thing it is just to hear you. And I know we didn't get a chance to hear everyone's thankfulness, but it is a blessing to my heart to hear the thankfulness that's come from you. And indeed, we should be thankful people. If you have a hard time being thankful, I pray that today that you will be challenged from His Word that we saw a couple of weeks ago. As we return to it again today, that there is reason for us to be thankful. 2 weeks ago, as we looked at Psalm 92, I challenged you with this truth. The primary truth that I wanted us to see as we looked at verse 1 is that our thankfulness should be rooted in the character of God and not just rooted in our circumstances. God's character is what trumps our circumstances. If your thankfulness is only rooted in your circumstances, there will be times that we won't be thankful. But if we can understand that the character of God is what trumps those things, then it helps us in times that are hard. It helps us in times that are difficult. It helps us in times of suffering. It helps us in times of sickness. It helps us in times when our financial stability may not be so stable anymore. It helps us when maybe relationships are not as good as they need to be. And in all those things, we can be thankful because we know God's character doesn't change. We know that He is constant. And so today, as we look at Psalm 92, we're going to look at verse 2 predominantly. I'll make a couple of comments about verse 3 and verse 4. But let me just remind you from what we learned 2 weeks ago in verse 1. As you notice there in verse 1, we talked about a couple of things related to the names of God. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We pointed out how that the title there is all caps. And as we learned that when that is used in the Old Testament, that is the covenant name of God. It is the term of Yahweh. And when that is used of God and Him speaking to people, individuals, or a nation, it is usually in the context when God is establishing His covenant with them. We saw it with Moses, we saw it with Abraham, and we saw it with the people of Israel. Why is that so significant? It is significant because when the psalmist here is saying it's good to give thanks to the Lord, he's reminded that God is the one who reached down to them. It wasn't man reaching up to God. Man never reaches up to God without God first being reached down to man. Even in your own faith and even in your own salvation, you can claim the fact that you turned from sin and you turned out to God, but you have to always go back and realize that God is the one who reached you first. The Bible is clear. It says, we love because He first loved us. And so it's good to give thanks to the Lord that we're reminded that even if we have nothing else to be thankful for, as believers, God reached us. We also saw that when that name Lord is used in the Old Testament, it is often in the context when God is proving Himself as mighty. We saw it when the Israelites were in the Egyptian bondage, and God told Moses, He said, I'm going to prove Myself as Lord through all these plagues. I'm going to demonstrate that I am the Lord. We also saw that same word being used after the plagues, and the Israelites were heading out of Egypt, and they're about to get to the Red Sea, and God said to Moses again, He says, I'm about to show the Egyptians that I am the Lord. He showed Himself as mighty. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians pursued them, and the waves begin to crash in, and they begin to realize that Yahweh was Lord. Our Lord has reached to us. He is mighty for us. And so if there's nothing else that you can be thankful for, you should be able to be thankful that He reached you, that He saved you, and that He's mighty in your life. We were thankful that he's the O Most High, which is an adjective to describe God, but saying that he's the one who's above all things. So he's above all of our circumstances. So again, our thankfulness is not rooted in our circumstances, but rooted in his character. Sure, it's easy to be thankful when your health is good. Sure, it's good to be thankful when your money's rolling in. Sure, it's good to be thankful when your relationships are all working well. Sure, it's good to be thankful when your kids are all being obedient. Sure, it's thankful when everything's working out with your career. But what happens when all those things I just mentioned fall flat? Where's your thankfulness? It's still in God. So what I want you to see today, that we just had a week of Thanksgiving, you've been able to spend time with your family, and I hope that your time was enjoyable and you got to enjoy being with your family and to give thanks for those things. But today I want to give us a further reason to be thankful. In verse 2, part of our memory verse, it says that it's good to declare his steadfast love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. We're going to talk about how we can be thankful for those two things. And then lastly, we're going to talk about how is it possible to be continually thankful? Because sometimes if we just admit it, sometimes we don't necessarily want to be thankful. Sometimes we want to complain. It feels good to complain, doesn't it? Feels good to... Y'all are quiet, but you know I'm telling the truth. It's good to murmur. It's good to get somebody else along. It's good to let somebody else wallow in your misery with you. You want everybody else to know how bad it was for you. And even though you've heard it and they might start telling a story, it's like you got to trump each other's story. What I want us to see is that the scripture teaches us that there's a reason for us to really be thankful at all times. And there's a way by which we can be. It's not superficial. Listen, you can purpose your mind and your heart to be thankful always, but that won't last. There has to be something that fuels that thankfulness. And I want to teach you from the Word how that can be. Let's start with Psalm 92 here. And again, verse 1 and 2. The first truth that I want us to see this morning is that we should give thanks and praise the Lord for His steadfast love. We see it there in verse 2. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning. What in the world does it mean to be steadfast? To praise Him for His steadfast love. And it's good for us to think about, oh, we say, yeah, the Lord loves us, and we praise Him for our love. But what does it mean for Him to be steadfast? Let me just describe that for you. To be steadfast means that something is firmly fixed in place. Something that is immovable. Something that is resolute. I think one of the best ways that I can illustrate this for you, I want to put a picture up on the screen for you of an equator. You know, the picture that we see in the world that is, well, the equator is a imaginary line that has been drawn by man that literally divides the earth, if you will. It's perfectly placed between the north and the south pole. So if you're flying over the world, you're not going to see this red line, okay? Just want you to know that. It's not there. It is used as a basis, though, for measurement. It is used for, and what determines that also is longitude and latitude. Longitude and latitude is the measurements that are used for something that's permanently fixed in place. Latitude gives us the measurements between north and south. Longitude for east and west. And you say, what's the big deal about those? It's huge. Because if planes have a measurement of the equator that constantly moves and divides the hemispheres in different places, then longitude and latitude is impacted. That makes a big difference when planes are flying their routes and they're given their coordinates in regards to where they are. It's extremely important if a plane's going down, and as they're saying Mayday, they're given their longitude and latitude. If that measurement changes, then the people who are rescuing have no clue where they are. Boats are navigating their particular course of going across the oceans. They set their courses of longitude and latitude. It's even beneficial for when you have a land survey for your particular land. It's determined by the longitude and the latitude. It's something that's firmly fixed in place. It doesn't change next year. In 2015 or 2017, they don't come out with new coordinates and say, by the way, we've changed latitude and longitude. You know what would happen? That means every survey that's ever been done would have to change. Now, why is that important? Those things are steadfast. They're firmly, firmly fixed in place. We talk about God's love, that's what we mean. It's something that is steadfast. It will never change. It's permanently fixed in place. It is tied to the character of God. It is who He is. It is in His nature. It is in His being that He is a loving God. Now, I'm going to define what that means, because sometimes we think of God in His love only in the aspect of His benevolent grace, only in what He gives in good things, but His love is not just determined in that way. But His love is steadfast, meaning that He's always going to be loving to His children. Let me prove it to you. I want to show it to you in regards to time. I want to show you that His steadfast love, His love was for us before we became a believer. His love is steadfast while we are in Christ. And His love is steadfast even if we are in Christ and we do not obey. His love is steadfast. You say, these things should cause us to realize why we should be able to be thankful for these things. Because if we think about this, our love is not always steadfast, is it? Look at me, just the first one. God's love was steadfast before we came to faith. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. This is to prove to us that God was loving us even before we loved Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So here clearly Paul is telling us, even that while we were sinful, we were not righteous, we were not good, that God is choosing to love us. It's His steadfast love reaching down to us. So if you think that you are worthy of being saved, that you were good and God thought, He said, oh, that's a good one, I think I'll take him. We were filthy, as Zoe even said earlier. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. And so we think about His steadfast love is that His love is reaching to us, even to us in our filth, even to us in our repulsion against Him. He's steadfast. But even not just His steadfast love before we come to faith in Christ, but when we are in Christ, He's still steadfast to us. He's determined to express His love and His joy and His satisfaction in His people. Look at John chapter 15 with me. So God's love is steadfast while we walk with the Lord. John chapter 15, this is in the context when Jesus is teaching His disciples right before He's going to be crucified on the next day. John chapter 15, Jesus is teaching His apostles in regards to being abiding in them. If you look back at verse 5, and again, He's speaking to believers here. These truths are applied to believers. So if you're here this morning, you've yet to repent and place faith in Christ, I want you to see the greatness of God. I want you to see how wonderful He is and His love for you and what He does for us. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Skip down to verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Put the things together here. Jesus is saying, my love is steadfast to my people. But if you obey my commandments, then you're going to stay in my love. Meaning his love is determined to us. And if we want to enjoy that love of his steadfastness to us, we need to obey his word. And if we obey his word, then we're abiding in his love. And if we abide in his word, we're doing his commandments. He said, then our joy will be full. So if we want to experience the benefits of his steadfast love while we are his children, we have to walk in his word and walk in doing what he tells us to do. And by doing so, the benefit for us is we get to enjoy his love and we get to have joy in our life. You just do the opposite of that. When you don't walk in his word, you don't do his commandments, you don't do his things, you're not going to get to experience his love. You're never not going to have joy. What you're going to have is conviction. What you're going to have next, the third thing I want you to see is this, that even though that if we are in Christ and we are not being obedient to his word, his steadfast love will be shown to us, but it doesn't come in benevolent grace, it comes in malevolent grace, meaning it comes in discipline. But it's still love. We want to think about God's love and always his goodness, but he loves us enough to discipline us because his love is steadfast. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show it to you. Hebrews 12. Verse 5 through verse 8. Probably every person who is in this room, who is a believer, who is a child of God, has experienced these things. You should have experienced the fact of God saving you, the joy of being saved. You should be experiencing walking in His Word, walking in obedience, and having joy. It's not superficial, it is supernatural. Supernatural in the aspect the Spirit of God should be in you and should be giving you joy as you obey Him. Joy in walking with Him. Joy in the satisfaction with Him. But we've all probably also experienced this third thing of His steadfast love, that when we are not doing that, then the Holy Spirit who is in us brings conviction to us. The joy gets zapped. And it comes with great, it's godly guilt, not worldly guilt, but godly guilt, because we know we're not doing what He wants us to do. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He," say again, "loves, and chastises every son whom He receives." That is His steadfast love, church. Why does He do that? Why does He bring discipline to us? One, because He loves us, but two, because He wants us to get back at letter B there. He wants us to get back where we are in enjoying the love that He has determined for His children when we're walking correctly. It is God's desire for us to walk in obedience. It's not God's desire for you and me to walk in disobedience and to be experiencing His poured out discipline for us. But He will do so because He wants us to walk rightly. And so when we go back, if you think about the psalmist in Psalm 92, and he's saying it's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to Your name, O Most High, to declare Your steadfast love in the morning. Do you think this person who's writing this psalm, who's been an Israelite, has speaking from experience? Yes. Think about the steadfast love that God has demonstrated to the people of Israel up until this particular point. God has demonstrated great love for the people of Israel, repeatedly giving them the love that He's poured out for them, even when they did not deserve it. Let me prove this to you by text. Look to me at Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want you to see Moses' recounting of God's steadfast love. Now, this is, to give you some context, Moses is not going to go into the promised land with the people of Israel. Remember, Moses disobeyed the Lord. At one time he was told to hit the rock to get water. Second time he was told to speak to the rock to get water. And he was angry at the Israelites murmuring. What does he do? He strikes the rock. And the Lord says, "Because you've not held me holy among the people, you will not go into the promised land." Moses was broken for that truth, but there was no persuading God at that particular point. He stated His truth. Deuteronomy chapter 7, these particular chapters that are around here, is Moses recounting the truths of God and the character of God to the people of God, wanting them to be reminded of who God is and His character and what He's done for them. And one of the things that he tells them right here in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through verse 11, is he describes to them the steadfastness of God's love for them. And here's what I want you to see. If you're taking notes, let me give it to you. In verse 6 through 7, you're going to see truth A that's on your screen, where the truth is that where God's love was reaching them before the Israelites reached to God. In verse 8 through verse 9, you're going to see truth B that's on your screen, that while that they are in a relationship with God, a covenant relationship with God, you're going to see the love of God and the enjoyment that the Israelites get to have. And then in verse 10 through 11, you're going to see truth C that's on your screen, where Moses recounts for them the times when they were not obedient, God disciplined His people. He gives all three of these things in this one recounting of the times of what God has done for them. Let's read it. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. "You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His" what? "Love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples." Do you see it? That's the first point. Moses is saying, look, God chose you because He loved you. Not because you were great. Not because you're big in number. You're the fewest of all people. What he's saying is you didn't deserve to be chosen. Amen. Verse 8. "It is because the Lord loves you." That truth that's in letter B, that God is enjoying them. "It is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Do you hear what Moses is saying? He said, look, you've been rescued. And at this point, you're walking with the Lord and he's pouring out his steadfast love to you. He is a faithful God to you. But then he gives this warning in verse 10. And he repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. Do you hear it from Moses? Moses is saying to the people of Israel, look, all three of these truths about God's steadfast love are there. Listen, it's there in the Old Testament and exists today for you and for me and our walk with Christ. So when you say, how can I be thankful? If you're sitting here and you say, nobody loves me and you're a believer in Christ, I want to tell you that's a lie from the enemy. If you were in Christ, the Lord has loved you. And it wasn't because you were better than somebody else sitting behind you or in front of you or beside you or anybody else in this world. It's because he just chose to love you. Amen. And so you say, thank you, God, that you love me. Because if we list all of our past, if I was to write every sin that we ever did on this wall, it would be covered in black. Every one of us. And if we were to look at that as a visual reminder, it would humble us to be realizing to say, we have a relationship with God. So thank you, God, that you have steadfast love towards me. You know what's good about that? Because he wipes that all clean. The black becomes white in Christ. And just as Zoe prayed earlier, and then as we walk with Christ, when we sin, the conviction comes and we call out to him and he forgives us because his steadfast love is towards us. Thank you, God, for steadfast love. Not only should we be thankful for his steadfast love, we should be thankful for his faithfulness. Look back at Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Now, for those of you who are literal people here, this doesn't mean that you just give him thanks of his love in the morning and only faithfulness at night, okay? This is a splitting of hairs, and there's very close synonyms here and meaning of faithfulness and steadfast love. But there is a slight difference there. Steadfast love, as I mentioned to you, is something that's permanently fixed. His faithfulness is someone means that is dependable, or it's constant, or that is loyal. I think one of the best biblical stories to illustrate this comes from the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea, he is a minor prophet. It is a great picture of God's faithfulness to us. In fact, it is the reason why God told Hosea to do what Hosea did. For those of you that are not familiar with the story, God told Hosea in chapter 1, he said, I want you to go choose a wife that's a prostitute, a lady that's been unfaithful. Hosea goes and he marries the prostitute. They have children together, and after children are born, then she's unfaithful again and she leaves him. And God tells Hosea to go after her, to pursue her, but by this time she's already become a slave. And he has to purchase her off the slave block in order to get her back as his wife. But he does so. And he says, it's because I love you and you will no longer be there. You will be with me. That is a picture, folks, of the faithfulness of God. When we have run from him, he's still there. When we've abandoned him, he's still there. When we hoard after the things of this world, he's still there. That's what it means for the faithfulness of God. It means when you're running from there, he's still here. And you go around the block and you try to hide from him, he's still there. That's what it means to be faithful. That no matter what you do, he doesn't abandon his children. Let me illustrate this way. It's like the sun. The sun is shining in our building this particular morning. We see the indirect rays that gives us a light within this room. But when you woke up this morning, none of you worried about the sun coming up. Why? Because the sun rises and the sun sets. The moon comes up and the moon sets. Now, I guarantee you that if you woke up tomorrow morning and it was pitch black all day long, some of you would not be saying, Well, all of us would not be saying, oh, it just must be one of the sun's bad days. I guess it'll come out when it's ready to. No, we would be saying, what in the world is wrong? Some of us would be fretting and thinking it must be time for the Lord to come back because the sun's not coming out. The reason why we don't worry about that is why? Because the sun is faithful. God has determined it to rise and to set and the moon to come. And the tides are all determined by all those things. Farmers depend upon it. Our time is set by it. But here's what's amazing. Even though we don't appreciate and value the benefits of the sun still rises. Even though we don't give thanks for the sun coming up and adjusting the temperature for us, the sun still rises. Even though we don't appreciate the value of the moon, because if the moon changes, folks, there's a big difference that's happening in the tides. Whether we realize it or give appreciation to it or show it, it still is there. And the same is true of God. He's faithful to be who He is, and whether we appreciate it or value it, He's still going to be God. Just like the sun comes up and the sun will set, God will still be there. Our world, regardless of what happens in the morning and happens in the evening, no matter what we do or what we don't do, God is still there. He's still going to be faithful. So when the psalmist says, it's good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, because he knows when he's not been faithful, when Israel wasn't faithful, God was always faithful. There were times, you look at it in the book of the Old Testament, I would challenge you to do this. When you look at the Old Testament, there are times when kings would falter, when the nation would fail. And one of the things that the Lord would say through the prophets, he would say, because of my covenant with Abraham and my covenant with David, I will bless this people. God's faithful. So this morning, if you're sitting here and you've not been faithful this week, repent from your unfaithfulness and be thankful that the faithful God is there waiting for you, because the lie of the enemy is going to be, he doesn't love you, he doesn't care for you, he's not going to be there, he's abandoned you. But God is saying, I'm still here. So if you faltered, do not let your faltering determine your future. Let your faltering be covered by the grace and the mercy of God, and let the faithfulness of God determine your future. Not your faltering, but his faithfulness. He's faithful to us. You know, there's ways to talk about his faithfulness. We can talk about his faithfulness in his character, and we can talk about his faithfulness to us. But let me say this to you. God is faithful in his character. And so this morning you're thinking, how can I be thankful and faithful for who God is? And here's what I want to tell you. Let me give you a few things this morning. You and I can be thankful and sing praises to his faithfulness because he's faithful to be omnipresent. What does that mean and why does that matter? To be omnipresent means he's at all places at all times. The reason why I can be thankful for that he's faithful to his character to be omnipresent, no matter where I go, no matter where I do, he's there with me. Amen. We can be thankful that he's faithful to be omniscient, which means that he is all-knowing. So we can be thankful and we can give him praise this morning so that when I lack wisdom, I know that God of the universe, when I don't understand, he knows. When I don't seem to have a clue about what's going on in my life, I can be thankful and I can praise God that he's going to be faithful to know all things. So when I'm struggling next week, or I'm struggling next month, or you look back at your past and you didn't know how in the world you were going to get through something, God was faithful to provide what you needed, when you needed it. He is omniscient. He's also omnipotent. He's faithful to those things, meaning he's all powerful, meaning there's nothing in this world that can overcome him. So if you're a believer this morning and you have something that's secretly struggling in your life, I want to say to you this morning, you can be thankful that God's going to be faithful to be omnipotent, that he's going to be faithful to be over all those things. You know what else we can be thankful for? That he's faithful to be immutable. I know these are words that maybe some of us don't use that frequently, but immutable means that he doesn't change. What would it be like that next week you woke up and God decided to be something different in his character? No, Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says that he is a God, he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The reason why that's important is because he's not going to change in his steadfast love, and he's not going to change in his faithfulness to you and me. We can also be thankful that he's faithful in his sovereignty, which means he's going to work out all things for his good to those who love him. Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So when you've made a mess of something, and we're good at making messes of things, We can thank God that He still can work it out for His good. We've made the wrong decision, financial, relational, whatever it may be, business. And we've fallen flat on our faces and we think that we've thwarted the plans of God. Remember, we're a speck of dirt. But in the scope of things, God is sovereign. He's faithful. He may make us walk through humility for a while to keep our eyes on Him, but He's faithful for those things. So it's good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to sing praises to His name, to declare His steadfast love and His faithfulness at night. So let me ask you this question. How is it possible to do this? Because if you look at Psalm 92, the psalmist is saying we should be doing this morning and night. If you were just to look over this past week, how many of you were thankful all day long? Maybe at Thanksgiving time, Thanksgiving Day. You know, some traditions, you gather around the table and you talk about what you're thankful for. This year, Liz started something with our kids. They had a thankful jar, and the things that they were thankful for, they would write it down and put it in the jar. And at supper time, we'd pull some of those things out and just let them talk about what they were thankful for. But I think some of us as Christians probably struggle with constantly being thankful at all times. You know, this season, even as Andrew was pointing out to us, you know, as we made this month a month of thanks, how is it possible, though, to not make this just a November theme? How is it possible that in March we can still be thankful? How is it possible in June we can still be thankful? How is it possible for us to be thankful when your world falls apart? None of us know what 2017 are going to hold. None of us. Your health may fail. Your job may fall flat. And in those moments, none of us can prepare ourselves for those moments. But there is something that we can do. I want to show you what the Bible tells us. Not just Byron's plan, but what the Word's plan is. Turn to Ephesians with me, if you would. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Some of you remember this text from several years ago when I preached through the book of Ephesians, and I pray that it's fresh for you, or I will refresh your memory of the truths that are here in verse 18 through verse 20. I want you to understand that the command that is here is in verse 18, which drives the results in verse 19 and verse 20. Don't miss that. The command that's in verse 18 drives the results in verse 19 and verse 20. Now remember, He's speaking to believers here. Let's read it. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Here's the command. But be filled with the Spirit. And better translation there in the Greek, the with should be by. But be filled by the Spirit. Why is that important? Because according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14, when we get saved and believe the truth, we are filled with the Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. But every believer doesn't always listen to the Spirit. Every believer doesn't always obey the Spirit. Every believer is not allowing the Spirit to fill them to the fullness of what the Spirit wants to do. Now the way that we do that, before we get to the results, let me just show you how that happens. Go to Ephesians 6. Verse 17, take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the what? Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. If we want to be filled by the Spirit, guess what we need to be putting in us? The Word of God. It is by the Spirit then, again back to Ephesians chapter 5, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled by the Spirit. I need to be in the Word and allow the Word to get in me, and I'm listening to the Spirit. Listen, I'm not just memorizing, but I'm doing. I'm listening. I'm obeying, and I'm filled by the Spirit of God. It's filling me up. It's stirring me up. Kind of the same thing what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 9. If you love me, you'll abide in my words, and you'll keep my commandments. I'm listening, and the Spirit is filling me. So if I'm letting the Spirit of God commune with me, I'm communing with Him, the Word is teaching me, and I'm listening, now we can see the results that happen in chapter 5. Go back to chapter 5 of Ephesians, and let's look at it again. Verse 18. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's what's going to happen when you are filled by the Spirit. You'll address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. So guess what's going to happen in verse 19 if you're being filled by the Spirit? Your heart's going to be full and you're going to sing praises to His name. There won't be murmuring and singing. There won't be just half-hearted singing. There'll be a fullness to sing to the Lord because you're being filled with the Spirit of God. Those things that we've been talking about. You want to sing about His love. You want to sing about His faithfulness. You want to sing about His omnipotence. You want to sing about His omnipresence. You want to sing about His immutability. You want to sing about His sovereignty. Why? Because those things apply to every one of us. And when you're walking with Him, those things become fresh and real for you. It's not words on the page. It's life that you live in. And God is fresh in your life. And so when you come in this place this morning and you're singing about the mercy of God and you're saying, blessed be His name, it's not words on a screen. You're saying, blessed be Your name because You've been in me. You've walked in me. You live me. You helped me. You stirred me. And that's what we're saying. So when you're filled by the Spirit, Paul is saying you're going to want to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord. Listen, a church that is filled by the Spirit should be a praise-filled congregation. And guess what else he says there in verse 20? If I'm filled by the Spirit, I am going to, say it with me, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get it again. Giving thanks for what? When? Always and for everything. How is it possible to give thanks when you've got a diagnosis from a doctor is not what you wanted to hear? How is it possible to give thanks when your relationship falters? How is it possible to give thanks when every your financial world collapses? Let me tell you something. You can't just wake yourself up and stir yourself up and say, I've just got to be thankful. It is rooted in your walk with Christ. If you're being filled by the Spirit of God, He gives you the right perspective. And He enables you to be thankful for those things. For example, if you say you've got a diagnosis that wasn't as good as that you wanted it to be, you can be thankful that you knew it before it was too late. You can be thankful that God's going to allow it to be used for His glory. You can be thankful that through it, you can share the gospel with people. So when you're in every nurse meeting, doctor meeting, and you're with a surgeon, whatever it may be, you now have an opportunity, you have an open door to share with those people that you never would have shared before. So be thankful. Let me tell you something. Walking in suffering and people see Christ in that, people pay far greater attention to those things than when you're walking in all the glory and everything's good. Giving thanks. Being filled by the Spirit. So you say, I want that. Then here's what I want to tell you to do. Stop being so busy and spend time with the Lord. Let Him fill you. Certainly, we're all busy. And there are times that time passes and you don't get to spend as much time as you want to have. But still, just delight in God, even in those busy days. The Spirit's in you. Listen to Him. Obey Him. And be filled by the Spirit so that your thankfulness can be in the morning and at night. It's your perspective. Give me an example. You're going down the road. You're having a busy day. You know, always things seem to happen when your schedule's the most tight. At least that's the way it works in my world. You're behind the slow car when you need to be there at a certain time. How about you going down the road and you have a flat tire? Now you can get out and complain and you can murmur, and we've all probably done that before. But if we're filled by the Spirit, then the Lord should be, even if we start to do that, the Spirit should be convicting us of that. And this perspective could change and say, Lord, thank you that my car went off the side of the road. My car didn't flip. There's always a way to be thankful in the midst of the difficulty. Believer, you and I this morning, we have reasons to be thankful. And it's easy to fall prey to criticism and being negative and being sarcastic. But those are sinful. And they don't bring glory to Christ. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22 says this. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Believer, if you struggle with criticism and being negative, confess that to the Lord this morning and ask Him to replace those behaviors and actions with being thankful for who He is. God is steadfast. He's faithful. He's fixed in who He is. He's faithful like the sun. And though we've wandered away, my encouragement to you this morning is this. If you feel unloved, you feel that you've abandoned Him, He's still there. So believer, the call to you this morning, if you've wandered away, is to come back to Him because He's still present for you. Run back to Him. Repent of your sin, acknowledge it as what it is, and run back to Him and trust that He is faithful and He's steadfast and you are His child. And if you are an unbeliever this morning and you're looking at God from a distance and wondering in regards to His love for you and His faithfulness to you, I would say this to you this morning, that very first truth about His steadfast love, He can love you before you've even loved Him. And if you're feeling the draw of His work in your heart this morning, repent and give your life to Christ and experience the love and faithfulness of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are steadfast. Like the longitude and the latitude that's fixed for the benefit of the merchants, the sailors, and the pilots. You, O God, are truly steadfast in your love to us. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful to us. Like the continuity of the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, you are always there for us. Father, I'm thankful this morning that you know the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room. Father, I'm sure that there are some in this room who have felt that they have done too much for you to still love them. I'm sure that there are some in this room this morning, whether it was last week or years gone by, they feel that they've done too much, that you could still be faithful to them. God, I pray this morning that you would replace the lies of the enemy with the truths of your character, of who you are. And those individuals who have been outwardly appearing okay, but inwardly crying out, hurting this morning, God, I pray you bring healing based on who you are. Father, if there are believers in this room this morning who have found it a habit of being critical and negative and not finding anything to be thankful for, God, may you fill them and all of us with the truths from this word this morning, that you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy for us to give thanks to your name because you have loved us and you've been faithful to us. Father, we need your help to be thankful continually when things are hard. And some in this room this morning, Lord, may have a hard time even stomaching those truths. Because they're hurt. Or maybe because they're bitter. So Father, I pray that through the Spirit of God who lives in them, if they are believers, that you would bring healing to whatever hurt that they have. And that you would turn that hurt and that sorrow, you would turn it around for your good. And that they would see that you are sovereign in those moments. And that you're going to work it out for your good and for your glory. So, God, I pray that you would give them the faith step this morning to give you thanks for what they're going through, even though they may not be able to see the end or the outcome. So, God, I pray this morning for all of us who are believers. Fill us by your Spirit every day, so that we may be the people of God, the church here at Redemption Church that brings honor to your name. And when we're gathered together, it's a people who are filled with thanksworthiness in our minds and our lips. Now, God, for that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or however many that are here who have yet to experience your love and your faithfulness, God, draw them to salvation this morning. Grant them repentance from their sin. Grant them faith to believe in you and let them walk in the love and the faithfulness that you promise to your people. Thank you, God. Be honored in this moment, in this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, church, and let's respond to the truths that God has spoken to our hearts today from His Word. Jared and I will be here at the front if you need prayer for any of these things or anything else that God has placed on your heart. But let's sing this truth to Him this morning and respond to Him.